Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. If you need high invasive intensive medical treatment, there's no better place on the world and on the earth than the United States. We have the ERs, specialists, scanners, all the equipment to deal with what happens to you in a car crash and other trauma. But if you don't need that, instead you are in relatively good health, but now you're older and trying to enjoy your golden years, then the United States is not your best bet because of the way our medical system and Medicare, the way they're set up. And why is that? And how can that be fixed? That's the topic of Curing Medicare, the book, A Doctor's View on How Our Healthcare System is Failing Older Americans and How We Can Fix It. It's written by a doctor, Dr. Andy Lazarus. And Dr. Lazarus, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So our phone lines are open, 210-614-8980. If you've got questions or comments about Medicare, what's wrong with it, what do you think can be done to fix it, how are you enjoying Medicare, give us a call, 210-614-8980. Email questions and comments to the source at TPR. So, Doctor, you say in your book that our healthcare system with Medicare in it is failing our oldest and frailest Americans, and that it is actually driving up healthcare costs and increasing the suffering of the elderly and their families. Tell me more about that.
Well, I first want to say that Medicare is just a terrific insurance, and what it's done for the elderly since 1965 has been incredible. But in 1965, the technology, the illness that was around is very different than it is today. And the rules have not changed. So Medicare is primarily a hospital-based insurance. If someone gets sick, they have to go to the hospital. It's very difficult to treat people at home, which is where most people want to be treated. So about a quarter of Medicare's budget actually goes to end-of-life care instead of to care that would help people while they actually are alive and suffering from conditions such as dementia. And in addition, a lot of what Medicare pushes doctors to do is to do more testing to aggressively treat illness rather than to talk to patients and see what they want and what will be best for them.
It's interesting to look at the genesis and gestation of Medicare in the 1960s and how it came to be LBJ's Great Society. And all of the wailing and gnashing of teeth from the American Medical Association, AMA, about how this was going to destroy the American medical system. And even Ronald Reagan, he made his bones politically by coming out and saying that this was fighting against Medicare.
And at first, the AMA actually proposed its own alternative system, but there were a lot of compromises made with the AMA in 1965. And in fact, doctors are doing pretty well under Medicare financially. When Medicare first came into being, there were a lot fewer specialists than there are now. We're a primary care country. But because Medicare will pay for essentially any kind of tests and procedures, specialists have thrived, and people who do a lot of tests and procedures do very well. And that's the group that dominates the AMA right now. So you don't see the AMA talking negatively about Medicare now. In fact, they're one of its biggest supporters.
Sure, but I'm entertained by the structure of the argument in the early days. And as we talk today about, you know, trying to improve, we saw it in the Obamacare, and now with Bernie Care, or whatever you want to call it, he wants the, you know, single payer healthcare system, or even to Hillary Clinton has talked about lowering the age of entry into Medicare to 50 years old. People are starting to say the same things.
Right. It just keeps repeating itself. I think everyone's, you know, at first that's the great irony, is everyone was opposed to Medicare. Now that we have Medicare, we know how it works. Everyone's opposed to anything else, anything that we create other than Medicare. And I think, you know, Hillary Clinton's plan and even Bernie Sanders' plan is more just to use existing Medicare and expand the age that people would be able to get it. For Bernie Sanders, it would be for everyone. Hillary Clinton, I think it's 50 and over. But, yeah, doctors are very frightened of change. And even under our current system, there are a lot of reforms going on that are opposed by doctors, many of whom, like myself, who oppose it. It's because we see that this top-down approach to changing the system really does not have a lot of reality based behind it, and doctors like us are rarely talked to. But yeah, doctors are a frightened group. You know, you see that all the time, and you know they're doing pretty well. So especially specialists, they're afraid any change is going to hurt them.
Okay, let's go to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. If you want to join our conversation with Dr. Andy Lazarus, he's the author of the book Curing Medicare, and Elaine is on the line. Let's get her on the air. Hi, Elaine. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for having me. My question for your guest is, you know, a lot of doctors today, and like my own PCP, and I hear it a lot, they're refusing Medicare patients because they say Medicare doesn't pay enough, or they have to discount or take a huge cut in Medicare patients as opposed to private care insurance. So I don't understand where he said about the AMA in favor of Medicare.
Okay, Lane, thank you for your question. Appreciate that. And so, Dr. Andy.
Yeah, Elaine, that's a very good question. And I just want to point out that there are very few primary care doctors who belong to the AMA. So when we're talking about that particular group, we're talking about a specialty-dominated group. The primary care doctors are getting hurt by Medicare. Their payments under Medicare are very similar to under other insurance companies. But the amount of regulation that comes with the Medicare makes that a much more difficult insurance to contend with. And you know, in my own practice, the cost of our overhead, based on what Medicare is having us do, from the electronic medical records to a lot of the regulatory things, has made it difficult to take care of Medicare patients. My practice is all Medicare, but I'm one of the few people in my community that still accepts Medicare at all. So I completely understand what you're saying. Doctors are more upset with the changes going on in Medicare than they were with the way Medicare was 5-10 years ago.
But here we are immediately talking about how doctors get paid and not talking about how patients get treated.
That's right. And really, the conversation should be about the doctor-patient relationship. And a lot of times that gets lost. And, you know, no one really wants to hear about how the doctors are doing. I'll tell you right now, doctors do pretty well compared to most people. And a lot of doctors will complain. I think the when you look at studies, the real essence of the complaint is how doctors are being told what to do and just the extent of the regulation now. So the doctor-patient relationship is based on the fact that doctors and patients can sit down face-to-face and discuss, let's say, whether a mammogram is a good idea, they should be in a cholesterol medicine, what their ideal blood pressure is, should they go for a test for lung cancer screening. And that conversation is in many ways being trumped by the protocols that we're supposed to follow and the fact that most patients have noticed this, we're just typing stuff in the computer. There's a lot of stuff we have to get in the computer. I think that's probably the most irritating thing to doctors. And it does get right down to the doctor-patient relationship.
All right, we're talking with Dr. Andy Lazarus. He's written the book Curing Medicare, A Doctor's View on How to Fix on our healthcare system. It's failing older Americans and how we can fix it. We'll take more calls. The number is 210-614-8980 when we come back from this one-minute break. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Medicare came into being in 1965. It's called the crowning achievement for LBJ's Great Society, but it was a difficult and controversial genesis for the program that brought medical care to America's elderly. And those flaws still exist today, and like Medicare, they have grown exponentially. But how can this program be fixed and then maybe even expanded? Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. We're talking with Dr. Andy Lazarus. He's written the book Curing Medicare, A Doctor's View on How Our Healthcare System is Failing Older Americans and How We Can Fix It. And Dorothy has called in. Dorothy, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Well, thank you very much. One of the things I feel is I don't see anything wrong with Medicare. I've only been on it for 3 years now. However, I feel that you should only get medical coverage if you contributed to the system while you were working. We have too many people that don't pay a dime for Medicaid that should be on Medicare because they elected not to take the Medicare. It's not mandatory that you take Medicare. That's number one. And number two, anyone that's on Medicaid, they receive a monthly check. They should be putting at least $50 plus into the premium, just like the people on Medicare have to pay something. My husband and I pay over $500 a month. We're retired just for medical, and neither one of us have any medical problems.
Okay,
we're required to pay that.
All right, Dorothy, thank you very much. Dr. Lazarus.
Yeah, I think there are two parts of that. One is that even the people that pay into Medicare are not paying for the entire system. So on average, the average American pays in about $85,000 during their lifetime to Medicare, and they use about $400,000 of services. So one of the reasons the Medicare system is falling into financial peril is because the cost of care is just escalating, and the amount of people that are contributing is dropping. And while it's true that if people did contribute more to care, it's still a very small proportion of what is needed to fix the system. That's why the other side of Medicare is important, the amount that they are spending. And I know that, you know, the idea, a lot of people do say they like Medicare now because there's a thought out there that, you know, you can go to Medicare and just basically get what you want. All the tests, it's not like an HMO where you have to get permission. You can get all the test procedures, hospitalization you want. And that seems like a good thing on the surface, but in many ways that's actually very harmful in many circumstances because it leads to too much hospitalization and to overtreatment, which studies have shown can be harmful and certainly is very expensive. So, yeah, if we're really going to fix Medicare, we have to look at not just what's coming in because those numbers are small, but also what Medicare is actually offering people.
But this brings up an important point because, as you write in your book, by 2050, the elderly are expected to be 20% of the U.S. population, and that's going to be expensive for Medicare.
It will be very expensive, and the amount of money going into the system is not going to be changed very much, and it's going to be unsustainable. So again, you know, having Medicare focused on the hospital, and just to give you an example, if someone comes into my office or if they call me and they have a bad pneumonia, they need oxygen, they need some help around the house, studies show that they would actually do better at home at a far lower cost than if they went to the hospital. And a lot of my patients would prefer to take that route. But Medicare does not allow that. To Medicare, if you're very sick, if you need equipment, if you need oxygen, if you need medicines, if you need home care, and plus other bonuses, all that is much better achieved if you just call 911 and go to the hospital at a far higher cost. And a lot of the reforms right now are not addressing that problem. But that would be a tremendous cost saver, number one. Number two, the outcome would be better. And number three, so many patients who are elderly would prefer that.
Okay, another caller, Lee. And Lee, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I think that Medicare is a wonderful thing. It's fantastic, but it was kind of poorly thought out at the beginning because most elderly people, 65 and over, and I am included in that category, have three problems that cause more problems. One of them was I had bad teeth, and Medicare does not pay for any part of dental work or crowns or dentures or anything like that. I actually had to go to a crowdsourcing site and have a friend of mine collect money for me there in order to get dentures. Then when I had dentures, I was able to apply for a job in customer service and got the job. So there I was, a self-supporting senior citizen still paying into Social Security. So that saved the government quite a bit of money. And the second thing is I have a very bad fungus infection on my feet, which causes me pain. And my job is exercise intensive. I have to walk a lot. And I can't get any help for non-diabetic foot problems. So there are two problems alone that Medicare could solve and save senior citizens a lot of money, save the government a lot of money, and save a lot of anguish in our society.
All right, Lee, thank you for the call and hope you get better there. Appreciate that. So, Dr. Lazarus, these are kind of like the stories that you tell in your book about people who suffer problems that could be solved by Medicare, but they're not covered by Medicare and therefore end up costing the system a lot more money down the line.
You know, I think Lee is exactly right. And it's true, Medicare is a fantastic insurance that just with a little tweaking can be sustainable and can help people like Lee. And a good example is that of dementia. Dementia was not something that was even recognized as a disease when Medicare was established in 65. But as we know, it's a devastating illness for both patients and families. Medicare will pay for you to go from specialist to specialist, from test to test. You can get four MRIs, you go on all sorts of medicines that have real questionable benefit. But what most people need is some help at home, some physical exercise, a daycare center where they can go a few days a week to be socializing and to being with other people. We know that helps patients and families with dementia, and Medicare will not pay for any of those things. So its focus, starting in 1965, was basically just on very specific medical care. And like Lee says, it's diagnosis-driven, which means you can get a certain shoe if you have certain conditions. And those conditions are laid out, and Lee's condition doesn't fit the criteria, but she needs the shoe just as much as anyone else. And if she had it, she would, as she said, be able to work and save the system money. So those are the kind of tweaks. We just have to realize that it's not 1965 anymore. The world has changed. What people really want is very different than what Medicare says that they can get. And if we cut back, and I don't even say cut back, but if we limit the number of high expensive tests and hospitalizations and just give people a choice whether they want that, and also add other things that would keep people out of the hospital and keep them healthy, then Medicare would certainly be able to be sustainable.
All right, another caller, Tim. Hi, Tim. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello, thank you for having me. Dr. Lazarus, I was just wondering what your opinion of a move towards a more socialized form of a medical care system.
Like a single payer?
Exactly, in the form of like a European-style system. What's your opinion on that type of system is? I think in the United States, the move towards like a privatized insurance system is, for the average person is, it's not a sustainable model, and it saddles patients with an undue, amount of debt just to get basic care, which people oftentimes will opt out of. So I was wondering what your thoughts on that type of system were.
Okay, thanks for the call, Tim.
Yeah, I personally am in favor of a single-payer system. And I think a single-payer system could be largely modeled on the Medicare model. However, it's important that we first fix the flaws that are in Medicare, because if we had a single-payer system that was similar to Medicare, our country would go bankrupt. But on the other hand, if we start putting restrictions on patients, such as they did with the old HMOs, and even such as they do in European societies, you'd have a backlash from patients. So I don't think we have to ration care. I don't think we have to tell people that they have to, call certain phone numbers to get tests. But I do think we have to change the system to enable more rational care and to give patients a choice. I think if we had a system where, for instance, patients can choose whether they want to be treated at home or in the hospital, patients can be given accurate information about certain tests and procedures like cardiac stents, which currently are not procedures that most of the time help anyone, but which are paid for by Medicare without any restriction, and that we had a system where we had many more primary care doctors, which is something that Medicare could fix tomorrow if it wanted to, then a single-payer system would be very viable. And again, it wouldn't be a European model system. It would be an American model system. And the biggest part of that is that Americans do not like to have restrictions placed on their health care. They want to have some role in choosing what they want to do. And I think that is very sustainable if we do it right.
And Americans don't like death panels.
death panels, of course, get a very bad word. But, interestingly, when death panels are called something else, Americans do like death panels, because what death panels are palliative care, which means that we're not going to toss them in the hospital every time they get sick. We're not going to have their end of life being an intensive care unit, which is what happens to almost half of older Americans. That's where they end up dying. But they want to be kept comfortable and at home. And if you put it that way, that's perfectly acceptable to most Americans. About 80% of American elderly say that's what they want. Call it a death panel, it puts a bad spin on it. But again, even in that situation, I said 80% of Americans want to be treated at home. That means 20% don't. And I don't think we should tell them they shouldn't be treated in a hospital. I think if that's the choice people want to make, they should be able to make it. But if we give people more choice, a lot of them will choose the inexpensive options, because if they get accurate information,
right,
the inexpensive options are actually typically leading to a better outcome and better quality of care.
Dr. Andy Lazareth, his book is Curing Medicare, A Doctor's View on How Our Healthcare System is Failing Older Americans and How to Fix It. Thank you so much, Dr. Lazarus. This is The Source on KSTX.